We're in the Gospel of Mark. We've been here for a while, so you may not remember that Mark's source for so much that he has written here was because he was a disciple, really, and grew up being tutored by Peter. And so the Apostle Peter went through so many of these things with Jesus, and he told these stories to Mark, who has written them down for us. And Matthew and I have talked about Mark. Matthew's helped me see how, as Peter gave Mark these stories, and Mark also could have gotten some of the sources from other disciples, but Peter in particular, that he arranges them and he makes the way that he brings the stories, because he's an individual writing this gospel to the Gentiles. The commentators have said that Mark gives us sandwiches, literary sandwiches. They're called Markian sandwiches. Now, when I read this through and I'm working through this every week, I don't usually see them because I'm so concentrated on this particular passage that we're working through. But as Matthew and I were talking about, he said, remember, this is a Markian sandwich. And, I like sandwiches, and I'm starting to get hungry. So I just, before we start going on here, I want to remind you what's going on. Back in chapter 8, there was a blind man healed at Bethsaida. And today we're going to have, so that's one piece of bread. And today we're going to have the other piece of bread in chapter 10, where blind Bartimaeus is healed. But in between, we have three layers of meat and cheese and lettuce, which in one sense we've seen the last couple of weeks as there's been three times where the disciples had Jesus explain to them that he was going to go to Jerusalem. That's why they're traveling. He's going to go to Jerusalem, and at Jerusalem he's going to suffer, and then he's going to die for the sins of his people and be raised again. And three times the disciples, after they've had this explained and in more detail each time, they do not get it. And in fact, they prove to be blind. And so here we have a story of Jesus giving sight to the blind man in chapter 8. In chapter 10, sight to the blind man we're going to be looking at today. But three times where these disciples who should have been able to see, don't see. And so he's making this little contrast here. And thankfully, on Pentecost, as they were filled with the Spirit, the disciples have seen, because we have their stories all throughout the Scripture, how God changed them. So that's the Markian sandwich, that's the bigger picture. But we want to look at this particular piece of bread today, the second and last piece of bread on the sandwich, the story of blind Bartimaeus. Because as Jesus comes to him and he becomes a disciple, it's a picture that all who will be his disciples need to see. So let me pray and then I'll read the Scripture. Our Father, we will not understand what is before us unless you give us eyes to see. There have been people who have picked up the Bible through the centuries and say, it's a great book. What a work of literature. How amazingly it's put together. And that's all they'll ever see. The glory, Lord, how you have packed redemption and the story of salvation from beginning to end. And they might even see that, how 66 books written by all these different authors are knit together with the same theme. They might even see that. But unless you, O God, stop before each one of us and open our eyes, then we remain blind. Father, would you show us not only your mercy in general to the church that you've opened up eyes, but for each one in particular. And we thank you that you still are about opening the eyes of the blind that they might know you through the mercy of Christ. Show that to us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10, and we'll see the story of Jesus healing this second blind man in the book of Mark, blind Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he, Jesus, was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And then he rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart. Get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed after him, followed after Jesus on the way. We've been working our way through Mark, and Jesus is now to the place where this indeed is the last miracle that Mark records. And he is going on his way to Jerusalem as purposely, steadfastly, with his disciples, as Jesus is going to give his life, even as we ended last week, Mark 10 and 45, to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus has his head and his heart and his body and all who are going with him as he's going to celebrate the Passover. He's not just going to Jerusalem to celebrate the annual feast of the Passover lamb, that remembrance of when the people of Israel were freed from Egypt by that tenth and devastating plague of the angel of death that killed the firstborn. And that the blood of the sacrifice of that lamb for the Israelites, who had their lintels covered with the blood of the Passover lamb, their firstborn weren't killed. So they're going to remember this, but Jesus goes to celebrate the Passover, knowing that he is going to be God's Passover lamb to ransom us. And so he's going with his head steadfast. He's going with his disciples that now up to Jerusalem. And so that's where they are. And to get to Jerusalem, it says in Mark 10:46, right as you begin to ascend into Jerusalem, you stop at Jericho. And that's what it says they were. And they came to Jericho. The they is Jesus, his disciples, and this crowd that was coming, as the men, at least in Israel, were called at three feasts a year to go to Jerusalem. And this Passover was one of them. So this is a great crowd of Jesus and his disciples, and the men and some with their families are going to Jerusalem. And it says they're going up to Jerusalem. Now, if you would look at a map, where Jesus was at the Jordan River and Jericho is north of Jerusalem. And you say, well, how can they be going up to Jerusalem? Because it's, if you look on a map, it's down. But what happens is when you're in Jericho and you're going to Jerusalem, you are going up in elevation to Mount Zion, to Jerusalem, 3,300 feet. And so it's a long, windy road. If you would go from Jericho to Jerusalem on a helicopter or a plane, it's 15 miles, but it's 23 miles by road because you have to go snaking up and around, and it goes up in elevation 3,300 feet. So they're in Jericho, and as they're in Jericho, they're not in that city that was where the Israelites first came into the Promised Land with Joshua in the battle, and the walls came tumbling down. Well, the walls are still down. It's a bunch of rubble. And this Jericho is 2 miles away from that place. Herod had it rebuilt as his winter palace. There was a big amphitheater here. There were many public buildings and beautiful watered gardens. And so as you begin your ascent up to Jerusalem, you start in Jericho, and that's where they are here. And Jesus is purposing to go. If you might remember how the prophet Isaiah talked about Jesus at this stage in his life. He's had his public ministry, and now he's going to be the Passover lamb to ransom many from their sins. And Isaiah said that he had his face set like flint. Jesus was purposely going to obey his Father and to love those whom he was going to die for. Now, as it goes on, and Jesus is about ready here, we find that blind Bartimaeus cries out for Jesus to show him mercy. Let's look at the next verse, Mark 10 and verse 46. Second part. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho, Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now, we find out some things about this man, Bartimaeus. He was blind. And because he was blind, he was a beggar. And he couldn't earn a living any other way. So he would normally sit by the road where people would be passing by. But this is a special time, one of the three feasts, for beggars and those who are crippled to be sitting by the road, because it wasn't just your normal everyday traffic that would be going by. It would be all these religious worshipers, right? And so they're in a special kind of mood, going up for the sacrifice and the Passover, hoping that their sins will be forgiven, right? And so if you can get prime real estate here and kind of nudge out the other beggars and blind people, then you have a chance to really make some money during this time. And so we have blind Bartimaeus. He's sitting by the road and the crowd is going by. But all of a sudden, it seems that there's this special kind of shuffling and noise and talk amongst the people. And Bartimaeus finds out that it's Jesus who is going by now. And so he begins to cry out. He must have heard and known about who Jesus was. Maybe he'd even heard about chapter 8 that was recorded, where we hear that blind man at Bethsaida was healed. And he'd probably heard of others as all the crowds would go by about Jesus who had healed others. And so he is not about to be left behind. And he cries out to Jesus. Do you see what he says there? He uses some different titles. He says, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Well, the first thing he said was Jesus. And if you remember what Jesus means, it means God saves. Do you remember when the angel told Joseph what to name his son? He talked about Mary, and she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from his sins, right? And so he's saying, Jesus, Savior. And then this is the first time in the Gospel of Mark that we hear this title. We've heard Son of Man many times, but this is the first time, if you look at the Scripture, he calls him Son of David. This Son of David is kind of strange in the book of Mark because it's written to Gentiles, but it's the title for Jesus being the Messiah. And this blind man sees, in a sense, what the disciples haven't seen all along. God has given him the insight that he knows that this is the Son of David, the one who would come from King David's womb, the one from who come from his loins and his humanity. He would be born in the lineage of David. And so when you get, you know, the Gospels and they give these lineages that we see that from David, well, Jesus is born from the loins and historically, humanly, from Joseph and Mary, from King David. And so we have that there, that he is this one who's the promised Messiah. And so even as Bartimaeus cries out, being a blind man, God has given him more insight than the disciples who've been with Jesus now for 3 years. And he says, "Jesus, Savior, Son of David, the Messiah, God's anointed one, be merciful to me. A blind man doesn't receive much mercy. A blind man gets the cast off. You know, if you have a little bit of change, yeah, I got a little bit of change. I don't want to buy some coffee or whatever they bought. You know, I don't know what they bought. Now I want to spend the coffee, blind man. I'm feeling good today. Throw him a little bit of change. You don't have much. In fact, you know how when you're hardened and there's a lot of people begging or on the street, or maybe you're up in Burlington trying to get out of the mall, you know, and there's people by the road, or you're going into Boston down by All Wife Station, you know, and the guys are there with their little signs and all that kind of stuff, and you're trying to get through and hoping they won't come to your door, you know, and ask you for something, or you can kind of look the other way and say, should I really give them something? You know how that is, you know. They may be really needy or not needy, but you're kind of bothered by them at some times. Sometimes you're really sensitive, but other times, you know, get out of here. You're bothering me. You're making me at least feel bad. And so Bartimaeus probably never had enough. And he knew that he called Jesus a Savior and he needed to know. He knew that even though he was the blind one, he needed God to be merciful to him. He knew something of this, of his sins. And maybe he even knew the prophecy of Isaiah talking about the Anointed One, the Messiah, that said the eyes, that he will open the eyes of the blind. But notice the response of the crowd. Do you see it there in verse 48? Many in the crowd are saying to Bartimaeus, they rebuke him. They say, shut up, blind Bart. Enough. What are you doing? Don't bother Jesus. What do you think you're doing? You think he's going to stop for you? There's scribes over there. There's Pharisees over there. He's not talking to them. You think he's going to pay any attention to you, Bart? You've got to be kidding me. And this rebuking, there's three times in particular we're going to see imperfect verbs used here. When the Greek uses an imperfect verb, and that's it kept on happening. And so this crowd, Bartimaeus is crying out for Jesus to stop and show mercy as the Savior and Son of David. And the crowd says, quiet, leave him alone. Who do you think you are? You're just blind. You don't have anything to offer him. Be quiet. And so blind Bartimaeus, it says, he shut up and never said anything else and let Jesus pass by. No. You see what it says? He knew his need. He knew that Jesus would probably never, ever pass by again. He knew that this was his opportunity. If he was ever going to get in front of Jesus, this was it. And it says, but Bartimaeus, verse 48, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And it's another imperfect tense, and it's saying about it was growing in intensity and loud. The more the crowd would say, shut up, the more he'd have to get over the crowd and say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, no one else will stop. And the crowd said, shut up, be quiet. And you can just imagine, I mean, I can't even probably yell loud enough that he had. Can you imagine how loud he'd have to yell with the crowd being loud? All of them continually telling him to shut up, but he wants Jesus to hear him. He knows that his only help is to get before Jesus. And then the amazing thing happens. Consider it for a moment. That Jesus, as he was intent with his face set like flint before the cross, knowing that he would soon be giving his life, stops in front of the one that the crowd thought was unworthy, even Bartimaeus. And he calls him, it tells us the scripture here, it says, and Jesus stopped and said, verse 49, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take up, take heart, get up, he's calling you. crowd thought he was unworthy. What did Bartimaeus have to offer? What could Bartimaeus give Jesus? He was blind. Didn't have any money. He had to beg for money. If he tried to go with Jesus, he'd only slow him down. You'd have to have someone holding onto his arm to try to keep him along. And he couldn't earn anything to help the disciples. He was a cast off. But Jesus hears his cry and stops. Luke tells us that not only did Jesus call him, but it says Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. Luke tells us that Jesus knew that it wouldn't be easy for the blind man to make his way through the crowd to Jesus. And Jesus not only said, call him, but he said, go get him and bring him to me. I want to speak to him. There's a lot of people who think they're not worthy to come to Jesus. And I'm not talking about worthy because you don't have clothes, the right clothes, as Bartimaeus wouldn't have had. Or he wouldn't look well. He probably wasn't cleaned up. Everybody walking by in the crowd in the dusty roads, he was probably covered with dust. I'm not talking about that. But Bartimaeus calling Jesus Savior, Son of God, Messiah, knew that he was a sinner. There was something in Bartimaeus that knew that he was jealous of people who had sight. He was jealous of those who could work for a living and didn't have to beg. He wanted what they wanted. He was covetous. And Bartimaeus knew that he needed mercy, not just to be able to see and make a living maybe one day, but he needed mercy for what was going on in his own heart. And Jesus stops to help him. My father died when I was 16. We didn't grow up in the church. And so I never had, as far as I know, ever any kind of spiritual conversation with my father, except one thing I can remember. And I think I remember him saying this to my mother once, and it's the best conversation spiritually that I could ever remember. He said this, because I think our family had been invited to church, and he said, I am not going to ever go to church until I can clean up my act. There's a lot of people who believe that. Maybe even some of you. I can't join the church until I clean up my act. I have to have everything together. What Bartimaeus knew is that he didn't have anything together. He's blind. Didn't have any money. Didn't have a job. Don't know if he had any friends. But Jesus heard his cry for mercy and stopped. We're going to follow through in a minute, but some of you, in fact, if you're in Christ, you knew what it was for God to be merciful. Can you look back on that day when you came to Christ? Some of you I knew grew up in the church and you don't have a particular day and time, but there was some point when you realized that you were loved no matter what, that God was merciful to you in your state. I can think back of when I was 16, when that happened to me, and I cried out for Jesus to save me and to love me and be merciful to me. But I want to talk to you, especially here in the church right now, because you might remember that day. But as you think about your life, you think about your disobediences that you've had. You may even think about this past week where it says, I really didn't live much like Jesus' disciple. If he would have followed me, I'm more like the blind man still. I'm kind of tripping around. In fact, instead of coming to Jesus and calling out to him, I've just been tripping around. I'm struggling. and why Jesus will stop at this blind man, I want you in the church to look with me to another scripture. Let's look to Hebrews for a second. Because I know a lot of believers that are concerned about their assurance of salvation. Because they say, I remember that day when I was blind and Jesus gave me sight, but I still trip a whole lot. I don't follow Him today as I should. And most of us would remember, yes, Jesus stopped for this guy who was blind and didn't have any hope. But now that I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to have my act together. But I don't. I'm still blinded in different areas of my life. What's He going to do to me? Is He going to ever stop again? Is there ever going to be a time that He could be merciful to me? Is He still merciful? And in Hebrews chapter 4, there's this wonderful picture, starting in verse 14, that talks about the one who stopped at us when we were blind once. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Read it with me and rejoice. Since then we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. Let us remember that day when Jesus first stopped, when He understood our unworthiness and we cried out for His mercy. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He's talking to the church here, not just the blind Bartimaeus. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is an amazing picture of this verse here. The cries of a poor, worthless man were enough to cause the maker of the universe to stop in his tracks. Jesus had time for him. Let me encourage you who know that Jesus stopped once a long time ago for you. He'll stop today, too. He'll stop today when you're still acting like you're blind. When you still feel like you're worthless and don't have much to add to the church or to His kingdom. Do you see what that last verse, let us then, not because we are good, but because He is merciful, draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Then look at the response of Bartimaeus, verse 50. To Jesus stopping and Jesus calling. It says this, and throwing off his cloak, he, Bartimaeus, sprang up and came to Jesus. What did Bartimaeus own in this world? The only thing he owned was a cloak. The cloak in the Middle Eastern times, that's the only thing that kept you out of the elements, especially if you're a blind man. You don't have a house to go to. His cloak was what he slept in at night. It was the only thing that warmed him. Bartimaeus, the only thing he has of any value if he would die would be his cloak. His cloak would be the thing that had the few coins that he would lay out before that people would throw their coins in that he could then gather up his cloak and hold those coins. Bartimaeus left everything that he had of any value in this world. He throws off his cloak and springs after Jesus. He's willing to leave it all behind, all that was worth something in this world, that he would find the mercy of Christ. What a verse that is. What a wondrous picture that is of God's work. As Jesus called him, he sprang up and left all that would hinder him from coming to his Savior. And then, of course, we have the wondrous picture as the story closes, Mark 10 and 51, where Jesus gives sight to blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." Bartimaeus knew his need, and he wouldn't stop until he was at the feet of Jesus. That's the only place we have to go, brothers and sisters. But notice that he doesn't kick Bartimaeus out, but he receives him. This is also a little picture we have. Remember not long ago in the book of Mark, where the disciples came to Jesus and he says, "What do you want from me?" And they said, "I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want the throne on the right and the throne on the left." You see how they were still blind? They wanted to rule with Jesus. They wanted the places of, and all that Bartimaeus could say is, "Be merciful to me. Heal my blindness." And Jesus says in verse 52 and 53, Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately Bartimaeus recovered his sight. Bartimaeus was made well by his faith. Now, it wasn't just faith. It was faith in what? The one he called on. Remember? Jesus, Son of David. It was his faith in Jesus, the Savior, in Jesus, the Messiah. His faith has made him well. And it's interesting because this Greek word says made you well, talking about recovering from his blindness, but it's also the same word. It's in Greek, it's sozo, but it means salvation. So in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says you are saved by grace through faith, it's sozo. And Mark is telling us something here, which you'll see in a minute, that he was not only healed physically, his eyes were not just able to see, but he was healed spiritually, and the eyes of his soul were able to see. Jesus does a complete work here because Bartimaeus comes and says, "I have nothing to offer you. I've even left the one thing I have of value, my cloak and its few coins behind. I have nothing to offer you to Jesus but my sin. Be merciful to me." And he was made well. He could see. His eyes were healed, but the eyes of his heart and soul were also healed as Jesus completely healed him. And I think you can see that very clearly in Mark chapter 10, verse 52, because it says this as it ends, "And Bartimaeus followed him, Jesus, on the way." Remember what I told you about the imperfect Greek verbs? That it means it's a continual thing. And it's in a Greek verb here that he didn't just follow Jesus a little bit, but he continued to follow Jesus to Jerusalem and to the cross. He was there. He was a part of it. He became a disciple here. Some of you here today are blind. Jesus is stopping as you're hearing his word, and you know you need to have your eyes open. I don't think any of you are blind physically, as far as I know. I haven't seen any white canes and dark glasses. But you're blind as a bat spiritually. You'll chase anything that'll make you feel well. Anyone that'll tell you what you want to hear. That's the way of the world and the religions of the world. Someone will tell you you're good and you have something to offer. But we're blind until we can cry out, "Jesus, Savior, Son of David, the Messiah, I need your mercy." Jesus might never, ever pass before you as he's passing today as you hear this. You may never be in this church again. This may be the day that you need to cry out. In fact, it is the day. Today is the day of salvation. You need to cry out to him if you haven't, and understanding your need, that today is the day to cry to Jesus for salvation, that he would open your spiritual eyes. But beloved, I know that so many of you have had that experience. But maybe it is that you've still seen that you have spiritual cataracts growing. You don't see the way you used to see. You're wondering about your salvation because you struggle still with sin. today is the day to call out to Jesus. Remember, your high and perfect priest and Savior, Jesus Christ, says, because He has gone to the cross for you, that you might cry out continually for His mercy and grace and find help in time of need. Today is the day to call to Jesus. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I've been rebellious. Lord, I'm blinded with the world. I love the world sometimes so much and the things of the world that I get blinded towards You. Open my eyes again, O Lord. Take away my blindness. Draw me back to see Your beauty, that You would stop before me that has nothing to offer to You but my sin, that He might be merciful and find His grace again today. I want you to just take one moment to look back to the first verse we looked at today. It's something interesting. I don't want to put too much on it, but it just was interesting, and I think I want to end this way by showing you it. You look back at the first verse. Excuse me, the second verse about Bartimaeus. And it says this, verse 46, "And as he," Jesus, "was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd," Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus is a Hebrew word. It means son of Timaeus. Bar, you've heard of Bar Jonah, son of Jonah. You've heard of that word. You've heard it used that way in Hebrew. Bar Timaeus means he's the son of Timaeus. That's the Hebrew understanding. But then look what it says a little later in the same verse. It says, "For the Greeks, he's son of Timaeus." It says the same thing again. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, son of Timaeus. And as I look at that, I just think of two different ways that Christ came to Bartimaeus. He came to Bartimaeus and opened his physical eyes, right? That's the wonder of this story, that Jesus stops. But we also, as Bartimaeus' heart was changed and he followed Him, the son of Timaeus had his spiritual eye open. Because Jesus stops and hears the cry of mercy. Beloved, do you need Jesus' mercy today? Are you someone who doesn't know Him and can only bring your sin? Then call out today. But beloved, if you're like me, and one of the joys I have as your pastor is to work through the Scriptures every week, and I see where I don't measure up, there's sometimes I want to give up and say, "Lord, how could You ever have me be the pastor?" It's because Jesus continues to be our high priest. It says, "Come to Me. Come boldly to the throne because of what I've done for you, that you might find grace and mercy to help in time of need." Do you need that today in your spiritual life? Come to Jesus, Son of David, and cry out like our brother Bartimaeus, "Have mercy on me." Let us look to our Savior. Our Father, I thank You that You give mercy to sinners from beginning to end. That it's never that we save ourselves, but we are inheritors of this great salvation, because You have given Your Son Jesus as a ransom for many. And we pray that we would gather this phrase that Bartimaeus has, and it would be our constant call to You as our Savior. Even day by day, that we would be repenters and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And we thank You that You stop and You call and You heal. Heal us for the sake of Christ and His glory. Amen. Let us turn to the last hymn and give God grace, praise for His amazing grace. 460. 460.